Amen. We have the privilege of a young man of God to share with us this afternoon. So, Daniel, if you'd like to come and give him an applause of encouragement.
Well, it's my joy and a delight to be standing in front of you guys and to be being able to share the word of God today. And absolutely blessed, should I say. And Andrew mentioned something about having faith, and by faith we come to anything in whatever we do, in terms of getting healed, in terms of coming to worship, in terms of coming to church or anything. And other day, me and Andrew, we were on our way to Barnsley and we were having a little chat about faith, and something just hit me, and I said to Andrew, what if all of us, we had that faith every day where we come to church and we get healed? See, most of the time when we go to conferences and big meetings, let's say Reinhard Bonnke is coming to Doncaster, or whoever big healing ministers coming to Doncaster, all of a sudden we've got that faith rising within us, saying that if I go to that conference, I'm going to get healed. And can I just say, I believe that it's our faith that heals us. When we've got that faith, and when we carry that faith, and when we go to church, when we go to conferences and stuff like that, but when we've got that faith within us, something happens. Yeah. And my prayer today is, and I'm sharing this word, I pray that each one of us will have that same faith where we say to ourselves, God, today your word is going to encourage me. God, today by your word I'm going to get healed. God, today your word is going to set me free. Amen. If you've got your Bible with you, please turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Gospel of Luke chapter 22. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful time we can have together, Lord. Looking at your word, Lord, and learning, Lord, and encouraging each other, Lord. And I just thank you for your presence in this place already, Lord. I just pray, Lord, as we share this word with one another, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your word will encourage us, Lord, that your word will stir us, Lord, and your word, Lord, will build our faith, Lord, and make us more courageous and bold in everything that we do, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that your word will dwell within us so much so, Lord, that it will start producing fruits wherever we go, Lord, and whatever we do, Lord. Just pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 22. So I'm going to read from verse 54. And it reads, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and as sat down together, Peter sat down with them. Excuse me. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you are also one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Imagine that. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. And if you look at this story, before this incident happened, a few paragraphs before this, we see Peter having a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus pretty much tells his disciples what's going to happen, that he's going to get persecuted and he's going to get crucified. And what were the words of Peter? No, Lord, it's not going to happen. And he says, Lord, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to stand next to you. I'm going to fight for you. And if it means for me to end up in prison, I'll do that, says Peter. The Lord says to him, Peter, I tell you, before the rooster crows 3 times today, you're going to deny me. And looking at this story, we can feel what Peter is feeling, can't we? Can you imagine having that conversation with Jesus and saying to him that I'm going to be with you, Lord, but when the true persecution comes, he does a runner. Not only that, but when he's put in that trial where other people are saying to him, aren't you the one that was walking with Jesus? Aren't you one of the followers of Jesus? And he denies Jesus. Not only once, not only twice, but 3 times he denies Jesus. He denies Jesus 3 times. And sometimes I look at my own life and I say to myself, God, I'm going to stand strong. God, I'm going to push through whatever that's coming my way. And it's not happened to me. But what if I'm in that similar situation where Peter was, where I'm getting persecuted for my belief, and where I'm put on trial for my belief and what I believe in? Am I going to stand strong and I'm going to boldly proclaim my faith and confess my faith, or am I going to turn back and run away? No. That is my personal challenge and my personal conviction. And I say to myself, Lord, I want to stand strong. When the persecution comes, Lord, give me that courage to stand and boldly proclaim the gospel and boldly proclaim and confess my faith. Peter wept bitterly, says in verse 62. And most of the time in our lives, I'm not just talking about us, I'm just talking about everyone. We let someone down, and what do? We cry, we feel sorry for ourselves. And I've seen it happen loads of time. And I believe it's one of the main things for any backslidden Christians is a feeling of guilt, feeling that they're not worthy enough, feeling that they don't deserve the grace of God in their lives anymore. And have you ever been in that place where you've said to yourself, God, I've messed up big time. That's me, God. I've messed up. There's no hope for me anymore. There's no hope for me anymore. And in them sort of cases, I ask myself, what good have I done in the past for me to deserve the grace of God now? What good have I done in the past for me to enter into the presence of God right now? Nothing. Nothing. It is the grace of God that allows us to be in the presence of God. It is the grace of God that allows us to boldly and freely enter the throne room of grace and the throne room of God. It is all the grace of God. And Peter disowns Jesus. And he's sitting there, he's crying his eyes out, saying, God, what have I done? I've denied you. What have I done? He's feeling sorry for himself. He says he wept bitterly. When was the last time we've wept bitterly? It's horrible. It's horrible. All the guilt and shame that he's carrying, and he's crying his eyes out, saying, God, what am I going to do now? God, how am I going to face you ever again? God, he's crying his heart out. God, what am I going to do? And it breaks my heart sometimes when I look around. Our generation, especially our generation, we've lost the very key principle of humanity, compassion. Compassion. The Word of God says the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. It says Jesus was full of compassion. It says Jesus wept. Jesus saw Jerusalem and he wept. Jesus saw his children and he wept. Jesus saw the people and he saw their misery and he saw how much selfish they had become and he wept. And it breaks my heart sometimes how much selfish our generation had become. Nobody cares about other people anymore. It's a selfish generation. But Jesus taught different. He was talking about selfless generation, not selfish generation. He was saying that kingdom of God is selfless. It's selfless. If you want to be the greatest, learn to serve. I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. Those were the words of Jesus. I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And it breaks my heart, like everywhere I go, we live in a world that is a consuming world. Nobody cares about contributing anymore. Yeah. And of what I've learned from the Bible, Bible teaches me, live for the benefit of others. Amen. Live for the success of others. When Jesus came, he never lived for himself. Not only one bed, he didn't. No. He came, even from the very beginning, he came so that we may have abundant life. He came so that we may have good life. He came so that we may live in that freedom. And we need to pray for that compassion to be filled in each one of our lives and every one of our lives, the lives out there as well. Yeah. Let's be a compassionate generation where we have compassion for one another. You see news every day, don't you? We open the telly and what's the first thing we see? Brokenness of the world. People crying out. Yeah. And I don't blame them. They cry out. Because they don't know the truth. They cry out. You tell them the truth and they've not got power to understand the truth and they still continue in their own ways and they still cry out because they haven't got a clue. Someone shared the gospel with me years ago. I was crying out. They shared the gospel with me. Nothing happened because I didn't have the power to understand the truth because my mind was so contaminated by the things of the world. But what was truth seemed a lie, and what was lie seemed like a truth. And when we live in a life of contamination, when we contaminate with loads of stuff, our lives with loads of stuff, a lie becomes a truth, and truth becomes a lie. And the things that's been broadcasted in television these days, our minds are so consumed with them sort of things, that nobody really cares about Bible, nobody really cares about God anymore. Because it's not been preached, because the Word of God is not being shown, because the love of God is not being shown in television these days. Years ago, England used to be a place where people had love for God, where they had reverence for God, and where they didn't care about their lives, where it was a selfless generation. And what happened to this nation now? Where have this nation gone? What happened to the principles that this nation grew up on? Gentlemen, we serve gentlemen. We have respect. My goodness, where have we come? What has happened? You look around, people don't care. You look around, they just want to live their lives. They don't care. And let us be that bunch where we stand for what is truth. Amen. Where we stand on what is right. Amen. Where we don't compromise with the world. Where we don't compromise with the little things. Here's the secret. When you start compromising with the little things, that opens up bigger doors. And next thing you know, you end up in that mess again. What took us years and years, little compromises will get us back into that place in no time. In no time. And as we continue with the story, we find another incident in the Gospel of John 21. You don't have to flick through the page, but if you're taking notes, it's John 21. And I'm just going to highlight the verse 7. And he says, "Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It is the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water." And when I read that, you know, I asked myself, how many times in my own life, or should I say in our lives, we have tried hiding our mess and acting as if everything's all right? How many times in my life have I done it where I'm in a complete, total mess, but I'm acting like everything's all right? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. If something needs dealing with, it needs dealing with. If something in our lives isn't right and it don't feel right, we need to get help. Because when we make space and make them little compromises, it leads to a big mess. It does lead to a big mess. Jesus is always there for us. He always loves us. His love never fails. His grace never runs out. But it's us. Sometimes we need to understand and admit that we need help if we're in that mess. And my favorite thing about this particular story is that Peter hears the voice of Jesus. And the beloved disciple says to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Peter recognizes Jesus, what's the first thing that he does? He grabs his outer garment, he wraps it up, and he jumps out of the boat. My goodness, he jumps out of the boat. And can I just say, the key of any form of restoration or reconciliation is to turn up, show up. If you're in a backslidden state, don't beat yourself up and lock yourself in your room, but come to church. Turn up, show up. That is the very key principle that we can get from this very verse. Peter, even though he was full of guilt, even though he was crying and he wept bitterly, he heard the voice of the Lord and he recognized it was Lord Jesus. He jumps out of the boat to have fellowship with Lord Jesus again because he knows the presence of God, because he understands the presence of God. And even though he messed up, he knew the grace of God. Even though he didn't know completely, but he hears the voice of Lord Jesus and he just jumps out. And sometimes, even in our lives, if we haven't got answers for anything, and if we're completely stuck in that dark place, and we're completely messed up, just go to Jesus. Just come to church. Let's not hide ourselves. Let's not just move away from Christianity. Let's not just run away from God. I'm just sharing my heart out today, because I've seen it happen. One of my mates died because the guilt overtook his life. And it breaks my heart. I'm not perfect. But I'm going to try not to run away from God. If I need help, I'm going to go to God. If I need help, I'm going to come to church. If I need help, I'm going to speak to my Pastor Andrew. Because if there's something in my life that's need dealing with, please come and tell me before he messes up my life again. If you see something within me that you think isn't right, please come and talk to me and tell me, because I need it. That's true love. Love corrects. Love rebukes. Love helps. Love picks up. Love never fails. And the reason it is a struggle which I believe for most Christians, they've been far away from God. It's a guilt. And not only that, they don't show up. They never show up. Because the guilt overtook their life so much so that they run away from church. They run away from Christian bunch. They run away from everything that has to do with Christ. They love the Lord, but the guilt overtook their love for Christ. I'm going to speak that into my life today, that whatever mess that I might face in future, Lord, I still want to come to you, Lord, and I still want to be with you in everything that I do. And my prayer for each one of us today is no matter whatever mess that we might get or we might be right now, just be in the arms of the loving Father. And His grace is more than sufficient. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. There's always, always hope. And our generation is a fault-finding generation where people are so much crippled by their imperfection that they struggle to see the perfection in themselves. We focus so much on the things that isn't happening in our lives that we forget what's happening in our lives. And this is a problem that is evident in both believers and non-believers. I don't deserve this. If only I had the capacity to do that. If only I had the ability to do this. It's never going to happen unless you stand on the word of God and you move forward. It's never going to happen unless you move forward with God and keeping Jesus at the very center of everything that we do. And I'm going to encourage each one of us that let's put less emphasis on our imperfection and put more emphasis on our perfection. Amen? Put more emphasis on our perfection. Each one of us, we're beautifully and wonderfully made. I look at you guys and I just see beautiful people. I do. Another thing that absolutely breaks my heart again. Today, I'm just sharing my heart out. Is that all right? I'm just sharing my heart out. And the other thing that absolutely breaks my heart is rather than the church influencing the world is influencing the church. It's the exact opposite now. We should be making an impact on the world, not the world having an impact on the church. Yeah. We should be living such a life where we stand on the sound doctrine, not being swayed or moved by any other sort of weird sort of movement, but standing on the truth of God. Standing on the truth of God. It says, Revelation 3 verse 1. It says, to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these are the words to him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. Listen to this. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. My goodness, let's not fall into that category where from the outside we might look like we're jumping, we're shouting, we're rejoicing, we're alive, but deep down inside we're spiritually dead. Let's be alive inside and outside. Let's be alive both ways. Like, I love the illustration that Andrew talks about the judgment, about having that football, two sides, inside and outside. And let's have that same mindset for our spiritual lives as well, where we're not only alive outside, but we're alive in the inside as well, and vice versa, where we're not only alive inside, but alive outside also. Another thing Do you know, Sundays has become more of a one big show day. And I've got nothing against having a big show perspective and all that. But the problem lies if that's the only thing that we can offer to the world, a one big show Sunday. Ta-da. We want to make disciples. We want to disciple people, not just one big show. Let's have that one big show, but never forget the discipleship. Never forget the follow-up plan from that one big show. People are so obsessed with goosebumps and one big show, and they're moved by feelings. And let us not be those who only moved by feelings, but let us be those who moved by the truth, by the word of God, by the words of Jesus. Yes. Statistics shows that only 80% of the church goers, statistics shows that 80% of the church goers don't read their Bible. My goodness, 80%. Remember that scripture? You've got the reputation for being alive, but you're dead. Sunday, you meet up, you jump here, there, everywhere, show everyone that you're alive, but deep down inside, you're dead. My goodness. Let us not fall into that category. Let us be alive. That is a challenge for me. I'm preaching to them, to this myself, actually. I want to be alive. I just don't want to have the reputation saying, oh, look at him, he's alive. No, I want to be alive inside as well. And this is the statistic of UK churches that's been opened and closed down since 2008 to 2012. And this I got from Evangelical Alliance website. Anglican churches, this is from 2008 to 2013. Opened Anglican churches from 2008 to 2013, zero. Closed, 324. Anglican churches, Baptist, opened, one. Closed, 76. Independent churches, opened, 104. Closed, 112. Methodist churches, opened 4, closed 813. New churches, opened 256, closed 4. Pentecostal churches, 640, opened, closed 2. Amen. Presbyterian, opened 9, closed 183. Smaller denominations opened 1,937, closed 38. What I want to say is that let us not fall into that category where we're closing down, but let us fall into that category where we're opening up, and plus we're having to build different branches as well. Here, there, everywhere, because we haven't got enough space in this church. Amen. Where we're having to build branches in Barnsley, Mexborough, Hexford, wherever, all over Yorkshire. You never know, Nepal, Nigeria, Congo, wherever. Never know. But let us not fall into that category, but let us just rise up and take our rightful place in Christ and move forward. And can I just say, if you feeling really, really disappointed, if you're feeling really, really down, what? Two words. Rise up. Rise up. Rise above your circumstances and come to Christ and take your rightful stand. I'm going to say that again. Let us rise up and take our rightful stand in Christ, because that's where we belong, with Christ, in Christ. It says in Matthew 16, verse 18, says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I'm going to read that again. And on this church I will build my rock, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Can I just say, we're the church, and nothing will overcome us. If we keep Jesus at the very center of our lives, and if we keep the Jesus very center of everything that we do, because we are the church. Amen. We are the church. We are the church. And let's be that rock where God, where Christ will build his church. Words of Jesus to Peter. On this rock. On this rock. We are the church. We are the church. And we will not back off. We're not going to fall into that category where we're having to shut down everything. No, but we'll fall into that category where we're growing so much so, where people are following God, not only with their feelings, but following God with the truth that we're having to build more churches everywhere. Right now we look around and we might feel disappointed sometimes, but let's just rise up. Let's rise above what we feel. Let's rise above our feelings, our emotions, our circumstances, and take the rightful place and stand with Christ, in Christ. He is the giver of life. He is the builder of church. He is the builder of church. He is the builder of church. He is our hope. He is our strength. And he is our rock.
Yes.
And if you're standing on the right rock, say you what? Storms here, there, everywhere. No, you're standing strong. Wow. Builder who build his house on a rock. Let's be that builder who we're building our lives on Christ. And where our foundation is Christ, solid Christ. Because he is our everything and he is the rock.
Yes.
And I'm coming to a closure. I'm just going to say, let us carry church wherever we go. Yeah. Andrew was saying last week, this is just a building, and it's true, it's just a building. What's this building without us? It's not a church, it's a building.
Yeah.
But we are the church. And like what Jesus said to Peter, let us speak that into our own lives,
yeah.
That Christ is going to build his strong church in us. That wherever we go, we show what church looks like.
Yeah.
We show what church looks like. Let us rise and go forward with full force, power, and authority which Jesus has given us. Amen.
Amen.
With full force, power, and authority that Jesus has given us.
Amen.
And I'm going to finish with the scripture. It's in Isaiah 60. And it aligned with what Ken was sharing before we started the meeting. Isaiah verse 60. Arise, it says. Arise. Rise up, arise. Shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. I'm going to say that again. Arise. Shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Listen to this. Nations, Doncaster, Barnsley, everywhere, England, Nepal, nations will come to your light. Nations will meet up in this place, should I say. They'll meet up in this place and they'll experience the light, the shining light, the bright shining light that is Christ Jesus. When his light is upon us, darkness cannot comprehend the light. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness to your dawn. This is a word of encouragement for each one of us. Lift up your eyes. Can I just say, lift up your eyes and look about you. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar and your daughters are carried under the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. And your heart will throb and swell with joy. Not just full of joy, but swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you, and to you the riches of the nation will come. Amen. I'm going to read this again. I'm going to speak that into each one of our lives. Arise. Arise. Rise up. Arise. For your light has come. Amen. Arise. Let us all stand now. I'm just going to pray for each one of us. Arise. Andrew, is it all right if we sing that song? Rejoice, rejoice. Christ is in you. Arise, arise, let us arise and take our rightful stand in Christ. Come on, let's just close our eyes and let's just begin to lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, we worship you. Come on, just lift up your voices.
Yes,
Lord, we just thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are our provider, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are our deliverer, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are all we need, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in our down days, in our down times, Lord, where we caught up and we messed up, Lord, and we think to ourselves that there's no way out, Lord. You're always there for us, Lord. You always, Lord, provide, Lord, for us, Lord, and you always, Lord, and you never let us down, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, and my prayer today, Lord, that the desires, Lord, to know your word, Lord, and to desire being with you, Lord, and that our desire to be in your presence will grow more and more, Lord, and we will rejoice, Lord, and we will rise up, and we will rise up, and we will rise up and take our rightful place with you, Lord, and we will stand on the truth, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In
Amen.
The name of Jesus.
Glory to God.
Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Now is the time for us to march upon the land. To our hands, he will give the ground we claim. He rise in majesty to lead us into victory. The world shall see that Christ is Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. His breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army. We arise. God is at work in us. His purpose will come on. Building a kingdom of treasure, not of earthly turns our weakness into
rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise, we arise.
God, hallelujah. We serve a great God. It's a good word. Hallelujah. God is at work. He's wonders to perform. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Glory to God. We serve a great, big, mighty God, don't we? He's a God of great power, great blessing. And he's a healing Jesus. Amen. And by faith. And as we were looking at the word, can you just pass me a Bible, please? Just want to confirm something from the word. Today I was reading, and I was reading from Deuteronomy 28. And he talks about the blessings and the curses that the children of God could have. And there's a choice. Like he said, that today we have a choice. Do we want to be blessed? Or do we want to be cursed? Do we want to be blessed? I said, do we want to be blessed? If we want to be blessed, we'd better do what the Word of God says. We don't want to be like the church in Revelation that had lost its way. We don't want to be closing doors. We want to be opening doors. We want to be raising up ministries. We want to be raising up people who are anointed with the word of God. Look at the person next to you and say, are you anointed with the word? Are you anointed with the word? And I ask that with reverence and seriousness, because today people, believe it or not, people are looking for the anointed ones. I'll say that again. People today in this generation are looking for the anointed ones. The ones who they can reach out and touch. Like I was saying last week, reach out and touch the hem of his garments and receive healing. When they're in trouble, they were looking for somebody to reach out to, that they can touch and find help from. This week, we heard this week only of a man who's been on the streets for years. He's an ex, said he'd been in the forces in his past, been on the streets for years, had some mental health problems, found him dead this week. Without a Savior, without a Lord, without a friend. They need to see the light in you. They need to see the light of Jesus in you. The light of Jesus shining in each every one of us. We have to start to speak the Word of God. We have to gossip the gospel. We have to tell people about Jesus. We have to do that. It will be to our account. What did you do with Jesus? It will be to our account. And that's not a threat to you. That's an encouragement. it will be to our account. Amen. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Gossip the gospel. Just talk about, well, I was just going to say, just talk about Jesus as if he's alive. Well, he is, isn't he? I mean, I talk to people on the supermarket cash register or wherever I go shopping. Somehow I'll get into conversation somehow, and I'll bring up Jesus somehow to them. Maybe I need to go shopping more. Oh. No, don't send me shopping. But I do. I will take that opportunity, planting seeds as I go. You know, just drop a few seeds out as you go. Lord, he's the one who sees that the harvest comes up, not you and me. Deuteronomy 28, and it says, blessings and curse. And you know, as you read Deuteronomy, Joshua basically tells them, I'm going to follow the Lord. Moses tells them to be strong and of good courage and serve God. And then Moses sings a song in verse 32. And it starts with, chapter 32 and verse 3, it says, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. I got that before, and that's why I sang that song. Ascribe greatness to the rock. And you're talking about the rock. That rock. Build on that rock. Deuteronomy 32, verse 33, verse 3, sorry. Build on that rock, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness, without injustice. Hallelujah. That's where that song came from. It came from a song that Moses sang and wrote. Wow. So powerful, so true. You know, the words that Moses wrote some 3,500 years ago are still true today. God, as we said before, God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guess what? He's not going to change, so you better change. That's what it's about. He won't change. We must change. If we're going to be like him, we have to change. And the thing that changes the most for you and for me will be as we read the Word of God. It's the rock that changes us. It's the rock that we can hold on to. It is everything that we have. It is everything that we are. It's our bank account. It's our investments. It is our only future. Hallelujah. So rejoice, rejoice, because Christ is in us. He's the hope of glory. He's our rock. He's our sure foundation. He changes not, and he said, I will never, ever leave you, and I will never forsake you. Don't be like the church and forsake him. He won't forsake you, but we can forsake him. And we need to make sure that we hold fast to that great foundation. We hold fast to the hand of God. And let the hand of God work in our lives. Amen. As we reach out and touch him, we'll receive that anointing from the kingdom of God. Amen. Yes. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. It's been a good word. It's been a good service today. God has been amongst us. We've felt precious anointing this day.